So could you speak to what's up next with the use of that tool? Right now, in our community events, we see that you are hosting Pfizer clinics, Moderna clinics, and even J&J Janssen vaccine. Yes, that's coming up on January 11th of 2022. And there is specifically a pediatric clinic on the 17th of this coming Friday. I don't know if that's filled yet, but so plans continue apace to keep these coming?
Yeah, so what we hope will happen, so because the pediatric clinics aren't filling up quite as fast, it's very likely, you may have noticed too that we had some clinics on Wednesday afternoons at Lakeview, and what we might do is continue having those Wednesday afternoon clinics that Lakeview will primarily take care of, because they can just do smaller amount. You know, we still have the issue of how many doses we get per vial, so we kind of create the numbers based on, you know, boring details having to do with how many doses we get in a vial.
Right.
But because we're not getting 100 people to sign up for a pediatric clinic. Partly we just don't have that many young people. So what we're going to do is keep offering these smaller clinics. So the Wednesday afternoons. And then what we've been doing, because we have so much to keep track of, once someone signed up for one of those Wednesday afternoons, 3 weeks later, we would hold the second dose clinic for them.
Okay.
And the same for the larger Friday clinics. We'd have kind of a 40 or 50 dose clinic 3 weeks later, do the second doses for them. But then we realized we're leaving people out from those first dose, so we're trying to throw in more first dose clinic. And what we'd like to do is with the boosters, we've been really fair with putting out about the same number of Moderna opportunities versus Pfizer. We kind of flip-flop them so that people have those choices. Fewer in the county got the J&J, but some really want that vaccine, and so we do have 50 doses on January 11th. If that fills up, we will get more vaccines. We want to create and keep a sustainable schedule where we don't burn out, where our volunteers don't burn out, and just keep offering regular opportunities and then managing it and paying attention. You know, if we do another Moderna clinic and it just is not filling up, that tells us that maybe we've kind of reached a spot where most people who want it have it.
I'm going to have to rely on you to remind me the state of knowledge. There is ever increasing information. So I think that may be one reason why you're getting a lot of questions from people about boosters. And some days I don't have it mastered very well. And one of those is about the mixing of boosters versus the original two-shot vaccine, you know, to get fully vaccinated that folks got. What is the state of that, at least as you practice it, versus what the general recommendations are?
Well, unfortunately, there's no clear recommendation. The most clear I have heard is go ahead and get the same vaccine that you got the first time. But you can go ahead and get any of the vaccines for your booster.
I hope you appreciate I'm asking that, because, look, if the Moderna booster clinic that you have scheduled on December 21st is convenient and allows you to get your third dose of a vaccine before the end of the year, and it makes you feel more confident, you know, going into the new year, and you had Pfizer the first two times, I just wanted to make sure that we talked about that.
Yep. You can do that. And then what we also do at the clinic when you walk in the door is we remind people you are signing up for a Moderna clinic or you're signing up for a Pfizer clinic. And again, it's acceptable to get any of the vaccines as your booster. We just like to remind people. We have had a couple situations where someone talked to their doctor who made a recommendation. And it's like, great, yep, do it what your primary care physicians, that's just fine. We can't police that. It's not our role. It's our role to offer these opportunities.
Do you have to know how long it's been since their second dose in any of these cases? You do. Okay.
Yep. So that is the one thing. It needs to be 6 months since you received your second dose of either Pfizer or Moderna. Then you're eligible to get a booster.
And in the case of J&J?
Just 2 months.
2 months.
After
that. So if somebody comes in and does get a first dose of J&J on Tuesday, January 11th, it's hard to say whether necessarily 2 months from then you might still be offering a booster, but they can get a booster of either of the other two as well?
Yes.
Just a lot of ducks to keep in a row here.
I know. Yeah.
And is there a time period that's defined for when you'll have full immunity after these booster shots? Is it any different? Is it still 2 weeks?
Yeah, they're still saying about 2 weeks. And, of course, no one, that's a range. You know, we never know how an individual body will respond.
Oh, of
course. Yeah, that's still kind of the range.
Okay. I know you're in the midst of a difficult week. I'm not going to ask you to comment on when we can expect the current surge to relent. We need people to get vaccinated. Isn't that really Bottom line, we need people
to get vaccinated. I mean, it is still the case where if you're not vaccinated, if you get COVID, your chances of getting really sick are much higher than if you're vaccinated. If you're not going to get vaccinated, then, you know, at least test yourself regularly. Keep yourself away from crowds. Please wear a mask. Don't infect others, especially these kids who are trying to keep in school and people who, you know, have underlying health conditions that are more vulnerable. So,
well, the masks, KN95, N95, or cloth masks all work better at source control, I believe. That's still the thought, rather than for mm-hmm. the person who might get infected. So we need people who aren't vaccinated to be wearing masks. And it's not what we see about our everyday business in the stores and public places of our town. We don't see a high percentage of mask wearing. But that's definitely the safest. The best practice is for everyone to be masked in indoor public settings where you don't know the health history of all of those that you're sharing the space with.
Right.
Tracy, we have on the horizon another variant that might be highly infectious. The jury is out on how impactful it's going to be at putting people at risk of hospitalizations and worse outcomes. So that's something you probably can't comment on very well. But going into the onset of if Omicron becomes prevalent here, how do we stand right now with the state of our institutions, our schools, and our local hospital? How are we managing at the moment? We had very high stress on the hospital just weeks ago.
Yeah, and you know what, I can't comment on, for today, what is happening in the hospital. They are, you know, across the board stressed. I don't have numbers.
Okay, in terms of whether they're able to even get people transferred that need to be transferred and in beds. That's the issue.
It's Monday. I can't.
No, and then the other question for me is whether or not you're still in consultation with Lake Superior School District and where that stands.
Yeah, I meet with the school when I can. There's not much more I can tell them. Oh, one really good thing, though, they were able to hire somebody, a COVID coordinator, to help with testing and contact tracing. So this is really, really good news. Take some of the stress off of the nurses that have been working so hard. And they have complicated things to figure out, trying to keep kids engaged in school safely. They've tried to create some normalcy, which is really, really tough to do. But I'd say the best thing I can tell you right now about the schools is this new hire. And I'm really happy they went to the effort to use this funding that was available to them and have someone give some relief to the people working so hard on trying to keep track of what's going on in each of the buildings.
If I read between the lines, they're using a fair amount of testing. I don't know whether it's primarily antigen, the quick testing, to get a handle on situations as they come and go?
Yeah, so if there's a child or a student that they have symptoms and they need to send that child home, they will offer to do a quick test for that family to make it easier for them. These aren't, in some situations, a student may still need to get tested again with a more reliable test, but it's a starting point. And it's great that the state can provide these tests to the schools, but just for the school community. So, and it's not for routine testing at this point, unfortunately.
Okay.
It is for symptomatic students who are being asked
okay.
to
so beyond home. Beyond a possible exposure, but more specifically used when there's some symptom, even if it might be just a cold. Okay.
Right.
Well, last but not least, I'd be remiss not to ask for your take on what people should be aware of in the upcoming Christmas, New Year holiday period and getting together with people from all walks of life and even just your own extended family that you don't know much about, you know, in terms of their health.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard to be the messenger, but, you know, I think talking to your family, I think it's really a question we need to ask, you know, if we're getting together with extended family, you know, are you vaccinated? You have to decide if you're hosting, do you want unvaccinated people over? You know, you really need to assess, is it worth the risk to get together if there's someone vulnerable who is in your home or that you're inviting over? Nothing has changed as far as keeping ourselves safe. It's still get vaccinated, wear a mask properly, wear two masks, keep your distance. If you have a gathering where everyone is vaccinated, you know, you're increasing your chance of having a healthy celebration. But we don't, you know, we do have breakthrough cases. So Getting tested before an event is another way to assure that you're making the right decision for yourself. And then it wouldn't hurt to get tested after an event as well.
That's a pretty thorough overview, and I can see that what it really tells us is we have to be willing to have these conversations after 21 months of COVID and what they're calling COVID fatigue. There are people mm-hmm. that may even bristle at the thought that you're bringing this up, but I would suggest maybe in those families, maybe we shouldn't be getting together if we can't even talk about this in an intelligent, informational way.
Right, right. And, you know, there's so many things going on this time of year, and people, they just need to assess their own risk for each event that they're doing.
Right, because you can't do a family email tree to the people that might be going to a kind of a diverse Christmas party that you've been invited to and you're debating. You're probably not going to be able to do a health check-in with the attendees, so you have to make
yeah.
a proactive decision.
I guess it's time to prioritize what is important right now and what are the many things you can do to have a safe celebration.
Well, I hope you have a good holiday, Tracy, and that people in your small work environment at Public Health and Health and Human Services can keep managing through to whenever the pandemic is different than it is now. That's the
yes.
how I'll leave it.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got a great team, and again, great volunteers, and really, I'm very pleased with Lake County, and you know, I appreciate you reaching out and spreading the word, and we have some strong advocates, and we have to support each other when we get tired of this topic. We'll just have to take turns with that, because
yeah.
everyone is tired of it, but it is still here, unfortunately, so we can't ignore it.
We've gone through some of the ways that people could help ease the strains of people in your position, people at the hospital, people in the schools. There is a way through this. It's not easy. It's not simple, but we'll just keep talking to people about opportunities to be vaccinated and boosted and hope that we move through the next phase of this pandemic intact. Thanks for joining us today, Tracy.
Yeah, thank you, Leo.
You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. That is Tracy Gilsvik, Public Health Supervisor for Lake County in the Department of Health and Human Services. They've been dealing with responses to the COVID pandemic going on 21 months. This is Leo, and you are in tune to KTWH.